and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today from Action Wellness, we have its volunteer coordinator, Chris Hayes, and senior development manager, Tim Rissell. And from the AIDS Fund, we have Tim Johnson, assistant or associate director? Associate director. See, now I was going to demote you there for a minute. Gentlemen, welcome. Welcome all. We've heard from Action Wellness and from the AIDS Fund over the year. And of course, the reason that we're meeting today is we do have a very big event coming up, the 36th annual AIDS Walk Philly. But today I want to really talk about why and what it goes to fund. Agencies across this city and this region doing amazing work. Who would like to start with Action Wellness? Let's talk about this organization.
So Action Wellness, we've been around in Philadelphia since 1986. We were founded as Action AIDS, and then we rebranded as Action Wellness in 2016 because we wanted to encompass other chronic illnesses as well and help expand our scope of care. So the organization was really just founded by a group of volunteers that came together in response to the AIDS epidemic here in Philadelphia. And we have now grown to an agency of over 100 professional staff with 5 offices, and we serve over 4,000 clients in the Philadelphia region.
I remember that it really started out as a volunteer effort, doing what comfort it could to people in this area who had the AIDS diagnosis or living with HIV. And then, of course, well, medicine progressed to a point where now it's you're looking at heart disease, you're looking at diabetes, you're looking at housing, you're looking at so many things as people are now living with HIV.
Exactly. There's so many things that we started to see, which is why Action Wellness expanded our scope and became Action Wellness from Action AIDS, is that we were starting to see clients that had other comorbidities, or that, you know, they needed help being able to access housing or being helped with being connected to employment. So there was a lot of things that we saw that we could be able to expand our scope and to be able to really look at wellness as a whole and really what wellness means for our client.
How is Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley doing right now? I mean, against national trends, are we seeing more diagnoses of HIV? Are we finding it more, and in who?
So unfortunately, I think from what I saw with our last numbers, we are seeing still about 300 to 400 new diagnoses per year in the Philadelphia region. Most of that is going to be in folks that are in minority groups and in males mostly. Right now, we are also seeing some folks that are also on a little bit of the younger side that are in those like 18 to 28 groups that are also having new diagnosis as well. So there's definitely still need for awareness, treatment, prevention, and also education around HIV.
The need for education is vital because the fact that is that so many don't realize that they have HIV.
Absolutely. And that's why testing regularly is so important. We really try to focus on removing the stigma around getting tested, around talking to your doctor about things like PrEP, which are amazing with being able to help prevent HIV infection. So we really try to make it so that these are conversations that are just happening in doctor's offices and with your medical providers, and also in the community as well. There shouldn't be stigma around the fact of being tested regularly just to make sure that everyone's healthy.
Can we get into who is being diagnosed, and are we diagnosing the right people? Are we not catching the ones that or testing the people who are most at risk?
I think that really we are trying to catch as many as possible. Obviously, there's always more that can be done. That's why, you know, groups that are out in the field with like mobile testing units and then offer free testing. Testing should be free and easily accessible in all communities. So like mobile testing is great when different organizations can take those units into communities that might be underserved to help provide free and accessible testing.
Are we testing enough, though? I don't remember ever being asked, am I at risk and should I be tested? Yet, even though I am a white female, there's no one who is absolutely safe.
Exactly. I personally don't think that we are testing enough. I think that always there's more that can be done. I think anyone that's sexually active should have those conversations with their doctor. And really, your medical care provider should be engaging with you about these conversations about offering testing in the office. It's quick, it's easy, it can be part of just a regular checkup.
What about communities that are underdiagnosed? Is that because it's a lack of medical accessibility, or is it they're not being asked, or they're not looking to be tested?
I think it's a little of all of that. And we're finding that it's some of the, I like to see young at heart, aren't getting the testing that they need because they feel like they're immune to it. And the sad part is that those are some of the higher groups of HIV being infected. And so just because you're a little bit older, you still need to be safe at what you do. And don't feel like don't feel like there's a stigma around that. Get tested. That's the best suggestion that we can give.
Why are so many young people or people of color, or why do certain age groups just avoid getting tested? Is it avoidance or is it just lack of access?
If I could interject, Laura, I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think there's still there's the fear of finding out something that you don't want to find out. And so there might be some hesitancy because of that. I think people who don't have access to care, particularly people in poorer communities, maybe don't have the information that they know that they can get tested or know what they're at risk for. And I think there's probably still some stigma just towards getting tested, even though it is just, as has been mentioned before, it's just a thing that should be a part of your, regular checkups. But a lot of people are still hesitant to have those conversations with their doctors. They can be uncomfortable, I guess, but it's your health here.
How easy is it to get tested in this area, in this region, and what does it entail?
Well, the city provides free testing at any of the health centers. So you can just go on the city's website, phila.gov, and find information about where you can go to get tested. It's just a very simple blood test. They have rapid ones now that you can find out pretty much immediately what your status is. And then they have ones that take a few days that go to a lab. So the resources are there. I think it's just making people aware of them, destigmatizing it, making it not a scary thing to have to go, because it's not just keeping you safe, it's keeping those people around you that you engage with sexually safe as well.
And there's also mobile units that are available, I believe, out there. A lot of times you'll see where they'll have some different things going on, like we had a men's walk and things like that. And they had the mobile testing units out there and available for people. But I think we just have to get over the stigma of walking in and getting tested. And I think that's the big thing that we need to just get over.
What happens when you have a positive test? What's the process after that?
With the rapid tests, they would probably want to do, because those don't always have as great of an accuracy, they would probably want to do a regular blood test. And then there would be other testing beyond that too, just to confirm the diagnosis. A lot of places that do testing will offer like on-site kind of counseling there, because that is a big piece of news to hear. They don't just want to drop it in your lap and leave you. So I know there are places that will offer counseling too, to make sure that you can get connected to the resources that you need and get you on the right track health-wise, so you can remain healthy.
How has PrEP affected the mentality towards getting tested, or the fear of being infected, or practicing safe sex? Has PrEP taken the dire fear off the table?
I think in a way it has. It's a wonderful thing. I think we can say that bottom line, it's a great thing because it prevents HIV infections. Now, the other side of that is that you can still get other STIs that, of course, PrEP does not prevent. It doesn't prevent everything. It prevents one thing. So practicing safe sex and getting tested if you're on PrEP is still essential. That should just be part of your healthcare. But in a way, I think because people are able to, you know with certainty that they can prevent an HIV infection, it can lead to some recklessness in other areas because people do start to feel a little bit invincible. So it's not a magic pill that just cures everything, saves everything. You're going to be totally fine. You still have to practice safe sex. You still have to be responsible. You still have to get tested.
This is out of the blue, but I'm looking at us here today on Zoom, and I have a sneaking suspicion that you three grew up with HIV in the picture. You do not,
yes.
None of you
yeah.
knew a time where there wasn't HIV. And did that affect your, as you were growing up and going through the teens and exploring, and knowing that it was out there? I've never asked this question before, but I'm curious.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was a late bloomer, so I didn't really come out until later in my years. And I think that was because, you know, when I was 18, that was 85, 86, somewhere around there. That's right when the HIV whole epidemic came about. And then, you know, they didn't know anything about it. Oh, I'm going to touch someone. I'm going to get it. Oh, no, what's happening? And, you know, you grow up that way. And it's really sad, but we've come a long way. And it's nice to know that there are people still out there trying to find a cure. There are people out there who are trying to prevent this disease. There are people out there who are just practicing safe sex. And I just am so happy for them that they are doing that. It makes me feel so good to see the young grabbing condoms in our office and using condoms. It makes me feel good that I see the young at heart grabbing condoms and being able to use those. So I hope that answers your question. I just aged myself, but I just wanted to let you know where I stood.
I want your genes. Oh my goodness. But so somebody growing up now, are we telling kids about safe sex? Are we talking about HIV and other STIs, or are we going backward in how we're talking to our children now? Are we going back towards that, just don't do anything at all?
I feel like there's probably always going to be different opinions, and, you know, it depends on what state you're in, what they're teaching kids, what school district you're in, that kind of a thing. In my experience, particularly with like Gen Z, they seem to be a lot more comfortable talking about sex, mental health, sexual health, and things like that, which I think is a good thing. There is, you know, more information available on the internet now than there ever has been. So any kid with a phone or a tablet can look things up on their own if they feel like they're not finding the answers that they want from the people in charge. But I think there's always improvement that can be done with sex education because things are always changing. There's always new things to cover. And yeah. Especially the younger generation, they're going to find the information that they want. But I think it's up to the people who are in charge to tell them, to educate them properly.
I was just going to say, and it's all about accountability, too. Some people believe that it should be talked about, where we have parents who are a little bit more progressive who want to talk about these things. And so I applaud those parents who want to talk about these things, because that's the only way that we're going to prevent the spread of the HIV.
But then you've got someone who is 15, 16, and this could be a young boy, a girl, either, whatever. Do they have access to those condoms? Do they have access to PrEP? Can they access care and testing?
At Pride Fest, they had a ton of information available for all ages. And when they came through to our table, again, they grabbed condoms. They grabbed the lube that was on our table. So it made me feel really hopeful for the future of our generations coming up.
We're at the halfway point. So if you're just joining us, this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the Action Wellness organization, we have Chris Hayes, the volunteer coordinator, and senior development manager, Tim Rissell. If you'd like more information, just go to actionwellness.org. And from AIDS Fund, we have its associate director, Tim Johnson. And for them, they're real easy to find at AIDSFundPhilly.org. That's AIDSFundPhilly.org. And for the 36th annual AIDS Walk Philly, go to AIDSWalkPhilly.org. Both very easy to find. Tim, do you want to talk a little bit about the programming that Action Wellness offers? We've already alluded to mental health and housing and healthcare. Do you want to talk about what you do and how do we support you? And I think that's where Chris is going to jump in and ask everybody to sign up.
Absolutely. So we have a lot of different programs that we offer through Action Wellness. Obviously, the backbone of what we do here is medical case management. So if you have an HIV diagnosis, if you are struggling to manage your diabetes, hepatitis, any chronic illness, you can come to us and we can help link you with a medical case manager who's going to be able to talk to you about what your needs are and make a plan to your journey to wellness and be able to link you with services that are going to be able to assist you. We have programs that help folks that are involved in the justice system. So if they are either incarcerated or just recently released, we have programs that help them re-engage with employment and with medical services and care. We have services that help with housing. So helping you find affordable housing, providing assistance with, you know, first, last security, things like that. We also have a great perinatal program, which helps expectant people who might have an HIV diagnosis or other chronic illness diagnosis be able to have a healthy pregnancy and then have a healthy baby after the pregnancy. We work with folks for our volunteer team, like with Chris here, to provide buddies. So the volunteer buddies work with folks that have HIV to provide companionship, to help them around the house, to accompany them, really to just be able to make sure that nobody faces chronic illness or HIV alone. And Chris, you can speak more about the buddy program too.
Sure. So we actually have a few other positions also available. I'll come back to the buddy program, but we have the office support buddy. We have a dining out for life ambassador, immediate seating, special events volunteer, volunteer recruitment. But I want to go back to the buddy program. The buddy program is where we have volunteers who are trained so that they aren't thinking about the stigma of having a client who may have a chronic illness of some kind. And so what they do is they then take that client out of their isolation, their social isolation, and give them a little bit of emotional support at the same time. So this means they might go to a coffee shop or they might go out to the park. We have an immediate seating program where we actually try and get free tickets for our clients and our buddies so that they can go to a Temple football game. They'll go to the Philadelphia Zoo. They'll go to somewhere where, again, it takes them out of that social isolation. Because once they are diagnosed with that chronic illness, a lot of times their friends and family may reject them, and we don't want them to just be isolated like they are. We want to be able to help. We want to be able to be there, and we want to be there for them. So and immediate seating, if you ever have tickets that you want to, free tickets that you want to give us, we then give those out again to our buddies and our clients, and they can use those tickets for the different venues.
HIV preys on poverty, and anybody who's dealing with a chronic illness, a lifetime chronic illness, knows that money gets really tight as well. And the AIDS Walk Philly funds, well, the AIDS Fund. Do you want to, Tim, can you jump in here and explain the ultimate volunteer opportunity, and that is the walk coming up on October 16th. And coming out there and supporting the cause, it helps all through the year. Your programming.
Yes. So we have the AIDS Walk, and what we raise money for is to help people who are living with HIV in the Philadelphia region. As Tim mentioned, the backbone of Action Wellness is medical case management, which is, you know, helping people who are living with a chronic illness who are living with HIV. And as you said, money gets very tight. A lot of people are on fixed incomes, and one thing could happen and it could totally change their lives. It could completely bankrupt them if they miss one bill or get behind on their rent or something. And so AIDS Fund has the From All Walks of Life grant program that helps people to maintain their housing. It helps people access stable housing, keeps utilities on, helps with medical insurance premiums and other needs. And the clients who are enrolled in medical case management, their case managers can apply on their behalf for these funds. And there are small amounts that we're issuing grants for. They average about $420 each, which is enough to keep someone off the street and in their stable housing. If I could really quick, Laura, the kind of the breakdown of what our grant program funds for clients. And that is that... Well, first of all, 75% of the recipients live below the federal poverty level. So the people that we're serving are the poorest of the poor. They're living on hundreds of dollars a month, not thousands. These are people who are literally paycheck to paycheck. Every penny is accounted for, and one bad thing that happens could be disaster for them. So in terms of the grant program, 25% of the grants that we fund cover medical needs like health insurance, medical services, medical equipment. 25% help people to obtain permanent housing, and 50% help HIV positive people facing eviction to maintain their housing. So the AIDS Walk is the biggest public awareness event for HIV in the region. And we encourage everyone to come out and raise some money, volunteer, and all of that money will stay right here in the Philadelphia region and helping people who need it the most.
And Action Wellness is not the only organization that is receiving this support from the walk. Do you want to just mention in passing a few of the others that will benefit?
Sure. There's so many great HIV organizations in the community. So we work with a number of them. We work with, of course, Action Wellness, Babashi, Philadelphia Fight, the Mazzoni Center. There's several others that we work with just to help all of their clients.
And what happens at AIDS Walk for somebody who hasn't attended one before?
Sure. We start the morning bright and early. The event begins at 7:30. We have a tent where you can drop donations off. We have a stage where we do a reading of the names, which is where we read the names of people who have passed away as a result of the AIDS epidemic over the past 36 years. We also have a display of 25 blocks of the AIDS Memorial quilt, which is made up of panels that people have made to commemorate loved ones who have passed away as a result of HIV or AIDS. And then we have the walk route. At 8:30, we step off after we do a brief aerobic warm-up and send people down from the Art Museum where we begin, down MLK Drive. Beautiful scenic walk. We'll be there rain or shine. And then when you come back, we have some live entertainment, some contests. We try to make it something where people can really come together and support each other, feel the support of the community. It's not only to memorialize those people that we've lost, but to support those who are still with us.
And this is a great way to start a conversation with your family. This is all ages welcome, everybody welcome. But you also have information there too, right?
Yes, we personally, AIDS Fund, will have a lot of information about HIV and AIDS. We also have wonderful partner agencies in the community who will be there with informational tables for all different kinds of things. So there's definitely there for you. As much as you want, you can take with you.
Stuff your pockets.
Exactly.
And there'll be opportunities to volunteer while you're there.
I mean, with any organization, volunteering is the backbone of a lot of organizations. So anytime that you have some free time, we would love to have you.
Pre-registration is not required, correct?
That's exactly right. If you want to pre-register, you can do that on our website, aidswalkphilly.org. Or if you just show up, just come to the tent, we'll get you registered. If you raise $50 or donate $50, you get a fabulous AIDS Walk Philly t-shirt.
The 36th annual edition?
Yes, indeed. In fact, I'm wearing it right now.
I love Zoom. This is much better than phones. Tim R., I did not ask this. Your services, how are they paid for? Do you have free programming, or is it pay as you can? How does that work?
Absolutely. So anyone who needs services from Action Wellness, we do not charge for any of the services that we provide. We get funding through various government grants and foundational grants, also from our wonderful donor base and our individual givers, and then from programs such as the All Walks of Life Fund. One stat that I would like to share from All Walks of Life data that we have is in the 2021 to 2022 fiscal year, over half of what we received from the AIDS Fund through the All Walks of Life Fund went to helping folks with housing-related funding. So whether that was their rent, first and last month security deposits, things like that. And also a third of that went towards back rent. So helping people make up for rent that was not able to be paid. So we're really seeing, like you mentioned earlier about poverty, we're seeing poverty as sort of part of chronic illness and being almost a chronic illness in itself that really needs to be attended to.
So parting words, let's start with Chris, you go first.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for having us on today and letting us talk a little bit about Action Wellness. It's a great organization. We have been here for over, I believe it's 35 years. We have a great leader, executive director, Kevin Burns, and he is leading us to bigger and better things all the time. So, and again, I can't say enough about our wonderful volunteers that we do have now, and hopefully we will get some more throughout the whole year here. And again, we can't thank the AIDS Fund and the All Walks of Life Fund enough for what they do for our clients and how they help us so much. So we just want to say thank you to them.
Tim R.
So I also want to thank you for having us on today to speak about the AIDS Walk and then also Action Wellness. We are grateful for all the support that we receive from the All Walks of Life Fund. It really helps our clients, but there's always more that we can be doing. So if you want to find out more about volunteer opportunities or to make donations to Action Wellness, you can visit us at actionwellness.org.
And Tim, what about AIDS Fund Philly?
Thank you, Laura. I guess I would just like to remind people that the walk is coming up on October 16th. There's a few ways you can participate. You can come out and walk. You can come out and volunteer because we can always use help there. And if you can't make it on the day, you can still support by making a donation. You can become a virtual walker and walk a 5K route in your own neighborhood, wherever you are. But we hope to have all of your support on the 16th for the AIDS Walk.
Guys, thank you for being on today and the best of luck for the 36th annual AIDS Walk Philly at the Art Museum, kicking off there 8:30 after the aerobics and after all of the commentary. A wonderful fun event, actually. It's raising valuable funds. It is doing a lot of good work, but down and dirty, it's just a fun event, too. It's a wonderful event every year. And so good luck with that. For more information, AIDSWalkPhilly.org. That's AIDSWalkPhilly.org. And my guest today from Action Wellness, we have Chris Hayes. He is the volunteer coordinator and the senior development manager, Tim Rissell. If you'd like more information, just go to ActionWellness.org. And from AIDS Fund, we have its associate director, Tim Johnson. Again, find AIDS Fund at AIDSFundPhilly.org. And again, gentlemen, thank you for being on today.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.